Okay, thank you for the introduction. My area of expertise is essentially signal processing. So the talk that I'm presenting today is on time-reversal signal processing and its application in breast cancer detection radiotherapy. The initial part of the talk is going to be fairly mathematical. I'm going to cover the basic principles and the basic algorithms that are used in breast cancer detection radiotherapy applications. So if you are more interested in applications, just bear with me till the later half of the presentation when I'll be talking of some of these applications. So as far as the outline of the talk is concerned, I'm going to start with the introduction of time reversal. It is a fairly recent concept that has been applied in the area of signal processing. Much of the previous work has been in the area of acoustics, researchers from Stanford, like Michael Fink, has used it for acoustic purposes. We have essentially taken it to the next step and used it for biomedical applications. A concept that is related with time reversal is what we call super resolution focusing. I'll introduce that. So the first contribution of the work of my work is to develop an analytical multipath model which describes why time reversal achieves super resolution. Then I'm going to focus on three basic algorithms. The firstly is maximum likelihood detector. And from a biological perspective, or from the perspective of this seminar series, essentially we will use the maximum likelihood detector to diagnose if a tumor is present in the breast. Then, essentially, once you have detected the tumor, you are interested in locating the position of the tumor. So I'll essentially present two different algorithms. One which is based on the classical music algorithm of Schmidt, and the other one is the time reverse algorithm that I'll be presenting in this talk. I'll present some experiments which describe and compare these algorithms with some of the conventional algorithms which are being used nowadays, and then finally I'll essentially introduce some simulations in the area of breast cancer detection and localization. So what is time reversal? And essentially, the next sets of slides explains what time reversal is. Let's assume you have an active target. The target doesn't need to be active. If it is passive, there are ways that you can still use time reversal. But for the timing, let me just focus on the case when the target is active. And the target emits a weak signal. There is an array, a transducer array. In this particular case, it's linear, but it can be of any particular shape, which collects the signal received from the target. And in this particular case, these are the sets of signals that are received by the target. Now, in conventional array processing, essentially you would use the signals to, depending on what your application is, to drive some inference about the target. Now, in time reversal, essentially what you do is you reverse the signal with respect to time. So if you look closely at the waveforms, what you'll notice that the signal that has come most lately becomes the earliest part of the signal, and the part of the signal which has come the earliest becomes the latest part. So that's the time reversal step. And then what you do is, essentially, the array retransmits the signal back into the medium in the direction in which the signal was received. And if you do that, both at least experimentally, it has been shown that this retransmitted signal will focus at the location of the target, and they focus with a fairly high resolution, with a fairly high precision. So that's the whole concept of time reversal. Now, initially, I said that the target doesn't have to be active. It can be a passive target. So if the target is passive, there are different ways that you can still use time reversal. Essentially, one way that you can do is that instead of having one array, you can include two arrays, one on each side of the target, and essentially one array transmits, the other one receives, the other one time reverses and retransmits back into the medium. And if you do that, still you will get what signal processing people call super resolution focusing at the location of the target. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to present you with a with at least one movie, which is essentially the propagation of time reversal in acoustics. So let's see if we can start this. Let me bring this. But before I do that, let me tell you a little bit about the domain. So in this particular case, the active target is located on the right-hand side of your screen. The array contains 21 transducer elements. It's located on the left-hand side. Obviously, if you want to run this simulation on a computer, you have to discretize it. The probing pulse is essentially is a baseband kind of a signal. So we have got two different movies or two different simulations in here. I'll just show you one to save on time, which is essentially when we assume that there are weak reflections from the boundaries, that the boundaries are reflective. In the first particular case, there are no reflections from the boundaries. In the second case, there are weak reflections from the boundaries. It turns that if there are reflections from the boundaries, the super resolution focus is actually stronger. So that's the reason I'm showing you the second movie. So what happened? I have to go back. Okay. So if you look closely, from the left-hand side, the target is actually emitting a signal. There are reflection, there are weak reflection on the boundaries. On the left-hand side, you have the transducer array that is collecting the signal, and will keep collecting the signal until a certain period of time. After collecting the signal, it is time-reversed and retransmitted back into the medium. And at the location of the target, if you look closely at the location of the target, you will essentially see strong focusing. So there you see strong focusing at the location of the target. And if you take one snapshot of this, okay. If you take one snapshot of it, essentially this was the simulation that I just showed you. At the location of the target, you get very strong focusing, and if there was free propagation, which essentially means no reflection from the boundaries, then the resolution is not that fine. Now, this one particular application of time reversal should be evident from this simulation that I've just run. That is, if you are interested in eradicating tumor cells through radiotherapy, you can essentially use time reversal, and experimentally, I'll show you in the later part of the presentation, we've done experiments where more than 50% of the healthy cells, if you use time reversal, more than 50% of the healthy cells, at least in our simulation, are saved or are not affected if time reversal is used instead of the conventional techniques that the doctors are using nowadays. So I just showed you one particular aspect of time reversal. Where is this looking? Yeah, one particular aspect of time reversal. So without time reversal, essentially, if you transmit through an inhomogeneous medium, essentially what happens is that you get a number of multipaths. And people who are familiar with communication applications, detection applications, multipaths are essentially detrimental. The more multipaths that you have, the more inferior is the performance of your system. On the other hand, in time reversal, multipaths are essentially treated as a positive. The more multipaths that you have, the higher would be the performance of time reversal. The second thing about time reversal is because you're probing the channel twice, once you're transmitting the signal from the target to the transducer array, and once after time reversing, you're retransmitting back. So by retransmitting the signal twice, you are inherently able to model the channel characteristics, and which are important in biological kind of applications because the channel characteristics are never known to you. You have to model them in one way or the other. And time reversal essentially inherently models the channel characteristics, which is a big advantage. Now, as I told you earlier, there has been prior work by Fink and by essentially in the area of underwater acoustics, we are taking it one step ahead and applying it for medical applications. I will not explain to you the idea behind this slide, but the concept essentially is to detect submarines or underwater man-made things using time reversal. Now let me first focus on what is why do we get super resolution focusing. Part of this work was presented at ISPIT in Vancouver in 2006. So essentially, let me consider this particular model. Again, once again, you have an active source. You have an array which is essentially collecting signals from the source. And our hypothesis is that each multipath and the signal from the active target to the transducer array is arriving through a number of paths. Our hypothesis is that every multipath can be thought of originating from another array. It's not a physical array; it's a virtual array. So in this particular case, when the array is transmitting back to the target, essentially you can think of, depending upon how many number of multipaths are there, essentially you can think of a number of arrays transmitting to the target. Because of this, these multipaths which results in these virtual arrays, that's the reason that you get a signal of much higher magnitude, and that is the reason why you get super resolution focusing. So in this particular case, if they are 2n plus 1 multipath, then essentially the physical dimension of the array is enhanced by a factor of 2n plus 1. Now coming back to time reversal and modeling it, this diagram essentially models time reversal. So this is a signal transmitted by the active target. This is where the transducer array receives a signal for the first time. The transducer array has a number of elements. Actually, in this particular case, 2p plus 1. So the second subscript in here, minus p to p, indicates the transducer element receiving the signal. Now, the signal from the active target to the transducer element is coming through a number of multipaths, actually 2n plus 1 in this particular case. You time reverse it, you retransmit it back, and once again, the signal will reach the target through a number of multipaths, and you combine those signals to essentially collect the signal at the target. Now, this process is repeated for each of the transducer elements. Now, if you do an analysis of it, and like most electrical and computer engineers and signal processing people tend to do, they tend to model the system using a transfer function. And if you model this through a transfer function, essentially we have derived two different sets of transfer functions. The first transfer function that we have derived in this particular case is at the location of the target. So if you look at these independent variables that are defined in here, YS is the location of the target, XP is the location of the transducer array, YS is again at the location of the target, and so omega is the frequency. So in the first case, essentially we're driving the transfer function when the target is transmitting, array is receiving, and the signal is being received at the location of the target. In the second particular case, we're driving the same transfer function, except the transfer function is being derived at an arbitrary observation point. And these are the two transfer functions that you essentially are left with. Now, as I referred to before, n is the number of, actually 2n plus 1 is the number of multipaths that we've considered. 2p plus 1 is the dimension of the transducer array. Capital T that I've introduced in here is essentially a propagation delay. Now, the first thing that should become clear to you, which is also intuitively pleasing, is that if the observation point and the target source are both the same locations, then theta and theta prime, theta is essentially the azimuth of the target with respect to the transducer array. Theta and theta prime would essentially be the same, and the second transfer function actually gets reduced to the first transfer function, which is kind of intuitively pleasing. Now, why do we get super resolution focusing at the location of the target? The reason is explained through this transfer function. Now, if you look at these transfer functions and compare the individual terms, if you look at term B1, for example, those of you who are engineers in here could identify this as a sinc function. Now, what is the maximum value of the sinc function? The maximum value of the sinc function is 2p plus 1 in this particular case. So the first function takes its maximum value in the transfer function at the location of the target. Secondly, if you look at term B2, it involves multiplication of two sync functions in the frequency domain. Now, multiplication in frequency domain, as you are aware, is convolution in the time domain. And now, if you the inverse Fourier transform of a sync function is a rectangle, so or a gate function. So when you convolve to gate function of unequal width, essentially what you get is a trapezoid. On the other hand, if you convolve in the time domain two rectangular function of the same width, you get what is a triangle with a sharp peak. And essentially the triangle, the location of the peak is exactly at the location of the target. So that is the second reason why you get high super resolution focusing at the location of the target, and whereas in the case of for any observation or for any other arbitrary observation site, what happens is that the energy is distributed because of the trapezoidal kind of a function. So these are the two factors that are connected to super resolution focusing in time reversal. And this, as far as we are aware of, is the first analytical explanation given to super resolution focusing in time reversal. Now let me discuss the detection algorithms with respect to time reversal. And again, I have considered a more complicated scenario in here, a generalized scenario. But so essentially, in this particular case, we assume the targets are not active; they are passive, like in the final application that we're interested in. We also assume there are a number of scatterers. Scatterers are unwanted targets. We are not interested in them. We're just interested in locating the exact location of the target. Our results involve two transducer arrays, one on the left-hand side, one on the right-hand side. The medium is inhomogeneous, as is the case for the human body. Now, the first fundamental data that is collected from whenever they're using time reversal is what they refer to as a system response matrix. And let me tell you briefly what a system response matrix is. A system response matrix is obtained by allowing one of the element in the transducer array to emit a signal, and by observing at the other array. So which element is transmitting the signal essentially defines in which column the received signal would be placed. So if the ith element of the transducer array A is transmitting, then whatever signal that you receive at the receiving end would go in the ith column. And you can essentially repeat this process to all the elements of the transducer array have transmitted. And essentially you get what is called the complete matrix. And that's a system response matrix. Now, if the target and the clutters are both present, then you get essentially what you get is clutter plus target response matrix. On the other hand, if clutters are only present, then what you get is a clutter matrix. Now, traditional studies in the area of time reversal have used the system response matrix to determine whether these targets are present, which in our particular case would be tumors. And and also in identifying the location of these targets. So how did they do that? Well, after the system response matrix has been constructed, which is essentially in the time domain, because you record the signal in the time domain, the next step is to calculate its Fourier transform of each element and get the system response matrix in the frequency domain. And then essentially what you do is you take the you do an eigenvalue decomposition on the system response matrix, and once you have done that, essentially the number of non-zero eigenvalues would correspond to the number of targets and as well as the scatterers. So in this particular case, the traditional techniques, there is no way of differentiating between the targets and the scatterers if you're using this kind of an approach. The other constraint that you come with this kind of an algorithm is that the number of scatters and targets have to be less than the number of the array elements. So if you've got high number of scatters and high number of targets, then this scheme will obviously not be able to identify each of them. And here's a simulation which gives you an idea of what kind of results you can obtain. So this is a simulation. We have assumed one particular target, one particular tumor in our simulations, and you can see that the dominant the y-axis plots the value of the eigenvalues. We plot the eigenvalues of the system response matrix relative to the maximum value. So the maximum value is in this particular case has been normalized to 1. Now you can see when there's only one, when we have assumed there's one tumor, you get one dominant eigenvalue. When there are two tumors, then essentially you get two eigenvalues, and so on and so forth. So this kind of an approach can be used, but the problem is that with this kind of an approach is that, as is the case for the human body, you get a number of scatters because of the composition of the human body, and this technique has its limitations because of that. Now, what we are proposing in here is just for the detecting the tumors, we are approaching what is called the maximum likelihood approach. And again, the maximum likelihood approach is a fairly familiar term for people working in communications and electrical and computer engineering. So how do we formulate the problem? Again, the setup is the same, but in this particular case, we pose the problem as an N array detection problem. We say, okay, our hypothesis H0 is that no target is present. So in this particular case, it means that no tumor is present. And then we formulate a number of hypotheses. Now, if you're only interested in locating one tumor, then essentially this will become a binary problem. But as mathematicians do, we have generalized the problem. So if we know, for example, that some tumors exist and we're interested in finding an unknown tumor, then it can be posed as an array detection problem. Now, in the case of when you're only interested in finding tumors, it would essentially be a binary detection problem, and in that particular case, n would be 2. Now, after posing this as a binary detection problem, essentially we go back to the setup, and we try to drive equations representing the setup that we have just described. So here we have a probing transducer array which transmits a signal, and in this particular case we call it FWQ. That's the transmitted signal. It is discretized with respect to frequency. We assume that the overall response of the targets plus the clutter is given by HTI. Now, and this is the additive white noise that is added. Now this essentially is an equation that describes the forward propagation step. Now, if you do the mathematics, you can drive a similar equation for the time reversal setup. So in a time reversal setup, what is going to happen? The transducer array is going to emit the signal FWQ. The observing array is going to collect the signal at each of the array elements. It's going to time reverse it and retransmit it back. And then whatever is the final observation back again at array A is what is represented in here. So because time reversal is phase conjugation in the frequency domain, essentially that's the reason why in here you see the magnitude a square component in here. WI in this particular case is also noise. Now there are. The superscript M in this particular case is accounts for the observations. So you can essentially repeat this experiment a number of times. Now, the next step that we do is essentially collect all the frequencies in one particular vector. So it's some kind of an ordering of the observations. And if you do that, the forward and time reversal propagation equation can be represented by this set of linear equations. Now, assuming that the noise that is being added to the system is Gaussian, is normally distributed, then essentially you can drive the conditional probability density function for the observation GI, which is the forward propagation observation. You can do the same thing for the time reversal equation. I haven't represented the equations in there, but they essentially are similar to this. The only difference in here is that instead, in the first equation especially, if you write the conditional PDF of PI with respect to hypothesis HI, instead of having this term FHTI, you would essentially get the whole of this term. That's the only difference. Now, how do you get the likelihood ratio out of this? The likelihood ratio is obtained by dividing the probability density function of hypothesis HI with the probability density function of the hypothesis H0, and if you want the log likelihood ratio, you'll take the log of that. And that gives you this particular result, which is which we present in the form of this theorem. So the likelihood ratio is essentially the real component of this thing. And if you see in here, what is PI of M? PI of M is the final time reversal observations. These are some, this essentially will give you a matrix. And you can see that whatever is this scaling matrix, you're normalizing the likelihood ratio with the same quantity. You can also try to calculate the conditional PDFs of this log likelihood ratio for people who are mathematically oriented, and you can find out that these probability density functions are circularly Gaussian. Now, what does that mean in the context of detection? What that means is that the likelihood ratios will essentially give you two circularly Gaussian functions with different means. The variances are the same. And essentially what you have to do is, what your likelihood ratio essentially is doing is trying to differentiate between the means of the two likelihood ratios, which again is intuitively pleasing, because this is a classical binary detection communication problem that have been addressed for many years. You can do the same thing. Now, in this particular case, we made an assumption that we know the target signature. Now, you can say that in breast cancer detection, you're not familiar with the target signature. So what do you do in that particular case? Well, then you can use the generalized log likelihood ratio test. The essential steps are essentially the same, but once you have derived the log likelihood ratio, what you try to do is you try to maximize it with respect to the target response, which is not known, and based on that maximization function, you can essentially evaluate an expression for the transfer function of the target, and you essentially, after obtaining this, you can replace the terms in the generalized log likelihood ratio test with that to get an overall expression, and that's how you get the generalized log likelihood ratio test. Now, this is an example of Monte Carlo. These are Monte Carlo simulations which are run for two different kinds of breast tumors. I'll again describe you the details of how we were able to simulate breast tumors in the later half of the presentation, actually in a few slides from now. But here you get I have just included a slide which provides you a comparison. The blue is the conventional approach which has been used. Conventional ray processing approach is used. The green is the time reversal approach. And you can see at low signal to noise ratios, which are especially the case for radiotherapy kind of applications, breast cancer detection kind of applications, you can see that time reversal provides you a 5 decibel of gain over conventional approach. And similarly, this is a different target. Again, you can see a gain of about 5 dB. At low signal-to-noise ratio, you don't get that kind of a gain because the noise is so strong that it's difficult to differentiate the signal from the noise, and the gain is smaller. At high signal-to-noise ratio, a relatively high signal-to-noise ratio, the difference is not that huge. The reason being that the signal is strong enough so that the conventional scheme can also perform almost equally well. Now, up to this part of the presentation, we have focused on identifying whether a tumor is present or not. Now, once you have identified a tumor is present or not, you're also interested in determining what is its exact location. And the next set of slides that we are going to discuss are going to talk about the localization of the tumors using two different approaches. One is using the classical music approach, which has been in practice for several years now. It was presented by Schmidt, and the time reversal approach that we have developed. This paper was presented in the Information Symposium International, IEEE International Symposium Information Theory at University of Toronto, actually last month. Now, okay, the classical music localization algorithm. What does it do? The classical music algorithm is based on the following six steps, and I'll try to explain them verbally. The first thing is you form the system response matrix, which is essentially the same procedure that I described in the previous slides. You calculate the eigenvalues and the eigenvectors. The eigenvalues, the dominant eigenvalues, tells you how many tumors are there, but you also have this eigenvector information. The eigenvector information can essentially be used to calculate the pseudospectrum. And pseudospectrum is like an image, and that image will give you the location. How do you calculate the pseudospectrum? Pseudospectrum is essentially the projection of the eigenvalues on the noise space. And through linear algebra, we know that this projection of the eigenvectors, of the dominant eigenvectors onto the noise space, would approach zero at the location of the target. So because it approaches zero at the location of the target, so if we essentially take some norm of it and take the inverse of it, you'll get peaks at the location of the tumors. So once you plot the pseudospectrum, the first k peaks would correspond to the location of the scatterers. Now, the music algorithm is constrained in two ways. The first way it is constrained is it is only calculated typically at one single frequency. That's the first constraint. The second constraint is that the scatter has to be a point scatter, which in our application is not good, because as we all know that the tumors, they consist of a number of cells, they are not point scatterers, so consequently, as we'll see later, the music algorithm does not perform well in terms of locating the target. Now what we have done is we've essentially proposed an approach which we call adaptive beamforming from cluster interference cancellation. And what this does is, remember, if you have multiple targets and clitters present in the environment, and if you do time reversal on them, the resulting signal will not only focus on the location of the targets, but will also focus on the location of the clitters. Now, at the location of the clitters, we want to nullify, or we want to constrain the amount of focusing that you're obtaining at the location of the clitters. So what we do is, we introduce a process called clutter nulling or clutter cancellation. And the whole idea is that when you transmit the signal from one array to the other before time reversal, you essentially try to shape the form of the transmitted signal in such a way that when you retransmit it after time reversal, the focusing at the location of the clutter is minimal. And again, this is an analytical result that we have proven, and you can show that the wave shape filter that prevents focusing at the location of the clutter is given by this equation, where KC is essentially the system response matrix. What we typically do is, this involves a training phase. This, if you want to introduce this filter, this involves a training phase where the time reversal, the whole time reversal procedure is repeated without the presence of a target. And that's how you get the wave shaping filter. Once you derive the wave shaping filter, you filter the forward propagation wave that you have, a signal that you have received with this filter, and then you retransmit it back. And if you do that, you will see that the signal only focuses at the location of the target and not at the clutter. This is again some comparison. This is the conventional approach based on music, Schmidt's approach, and you can see in this particular case the array elements were placed vertically. Now you can what you can observe in here is the axes in here correspond to the location of the tumors, and what you can see is the y coordinate has been obtained fairly accurately, but the x coordinate has not been obtained accurately at all. Whereas with the approach that we are suggesting, you get a better representation. So let me change fields in here and move on to some radiotherapy application where the theory that I have introduced could be applied. So first thing is that since we achieve super resolution focusing in time reversal, therefore a direct application of time reversal could be in radiotherapy. And this is one of the simulations which describes this approach. So this is a two-dimensional model of a human breast. This is another model of the human breast. This is essentially taken from the top. This is taken from the side. The pluses that you have in here is your antenna arrays. Again, in here you have your antenna arrays. The tumor is simulated at this particular point. You have granular tissues and then here, for example, this is the chest wall that has been simulated. You have skin in here. Now, in this particular case, what we did was that we based on these models, we ran time reversal and the existing radiotherapy technique on both of these models and essentially monitor the temperature distribution. Across the breast. Now the other details that I've described in here that are essentially picked from a paper written by Bishop. It appeared in IEEE Transactional Microwave Theory and Techniques. Now in the, one thing I'd like to mention is at the top you have about 16 to 17 antennas. I think there are 17 antennas in here, there are 16 antennas which are uniformly spaced. Now here is the temperature distribution that you get. The top one corresponds to using time reversal. The bottom one corresponds to the existing techniques that are being used. Now the temperature profile that is being suggested in here is for temperatures above 37 degrees Celsius, and they run in increments of 2 degrees. So remember the tumor is located in this model, the tumor is located at the central point in here. And 37 degrees Celsius, as you move in, the temperature rises. Now, if you compare A with B, what you can see is that the temperature distribution is quite focused in the case of time reversal as compared to the second case. And similarly, when you use the top-down model, again, you can see that the temperature distribution is fairly focused as compared to the conventional technique. And what we are suggesting is that the temperature distribution is essentially an indication of how many healthy cells would be affected, and therefore time reversal affects the healthy cells in a much less way because of the super resolution focusing that we have explained. Now, this was for radiotherapy. The next application that I'm going to talk about is essentially about detecting the location of the tumor. This is essentially an MRI scan of a human breast. And we are interested in estimating its exact location. Now, one difference when we looked at this particular application was that in earlier time reversal techniques, because they were essentially acoustic based, you would essentially assume a acoustic propagation model. Now, because the radiotherapy techniques use electromagnetic waves, so therefore you have to change your domain. You have to change the domain from an acoustic domain to an electromagnetic domain. And within the electromagnetic domain, you can either use a TE model or TM model similar to this. So there is a lot of mathematics and a lot of derivations involved which are not being shown in these applications. Now, based on the MRI that I showed you before, the tumor is located at this point. The dot presents you the tumor. Now, this is the conventional approach. If you use the conventional MRI-based detection approach, this is based on music. This is where the location of the tumor is detected, and this is the time reversal. The other thing that you can also see in here is that okay, so let me go back and also describe you these two dot lines that you have in here. They correspond to the shape of the breast. The firm line that you have at the back, it corresponds to the rib. And the other so the other thing that you can also see in here is that that the image that you get from a time reversal kind of approach has got much higher resolution as compared to the conventional approach, which is an indication of the high signal to noise ratio that is possible with time reversal. So these are some of the initial simulation results that we have done using time reversal, and we think they are fairly promising. We are hoping to extend these results to further simulations and further MRIs. So a summary of my talk. Essentially, I started with presenting an analytical multi-path model for time reversal that we believe is the first such model that explains the phenomenon of super-resolution focusing that has been existing in literature for a very long time. We derived maximum likelihood detectors on time reversal, and we showed that they outperformed the conventional maximum likelihood detection techniques. We also derived the imaging techniques, especially in this particular case, target localization techniques based on time reversal. These outperformed the classical music localization algorithm. We've also applied time reversal radiotherapeutic eradication of tumor cells. This was the case when I showed you simulations depicting the temperature profile across the human breast when radiotherapy is applied. So time reversal provides much tighter focusing in a simulation. And finally, we used time reversal for detection and localization of breast cancer tumors. And again, we saw that in terms of identifying the exact location of the tumor from the MRI images, time reversal performs much better than the conventional approaches. That brings me to the end of the talk. If you have any questions.